Thanks very much, and it's a pleasure to have a chance to talk a little bit with this group about our ongoing work. This is pilot work that was sort of sandwiched into that larger project that Lizzie referred to. So it's ongoing and still in its formative stages. But we're aiming to improve possibly automated PID case identification using an algorithm approach. I'd like to begin by acknowledging my colleagues and collaborators at Group Health, at CDC, and in other venues. Particularly, we had the opportunity to work with Walter Stamm early on, and we certainly miss him a great deal. By way of background, our motivating factors for this work were something that many in this room understand, which is that surveillance and epidemiological research addressing PID often uses codes available from administrative data. Most of us who've had occasion to use codes, particularly something like ICD diagnostic codes, realize that many of those may not represent true PID cases. And so we were interested in realizing and working with the fact that administrative databases available in many U.S. healthcare plans right now offer the potential to address some of the shortcomings of how administrative data has been used to date. Our aim was to develop and validate an automated PID case finding algorithm. Primarily, our approach was to use additional administrative data that was associated with PID diagnoses and developing this case-finding algorithm. Our study site so far has been Group Health Cooperative. We're a mixed model nonprofit healthcare organization, and we're headquartered in Seattle, Washington. At this time, we have about 77,000 women between the ages of 15 and 44, which was our target population. We embarked on one strategy, but have subsequently turned our attention to an analytic approach called CART, a classification and regression tree approach. CART is a binary recursive partitioning method. To disaggregate those terms a little bit, binary refers to the fact that CART splits data into binary groups at each step or node. And recursive means that the splitting process is repeated multiple times in a hierarchical fashion to end up with a tree. The partitioning refers to the algorithm partitioning data by choosing the optimal split at each node. Some of the advantages of CART are that, for one thing, no assumptions about the underlying distribution of values of the potential predictors is made. So the algorithm finds the optimal cut point for splitting at each node or each decision point. It's fairly easy to interpret and to employ in clinical practice. The tree can often, for example, show a triage approach to a patient for a patient who's presenting. The performance of the algorithm can be readily evaluated using sensitivity and specificity and other characteristics. To talk a little bit about how we approached this, we began by initially, as part of the larger work that our larger data set we were assembling, we had already identified 6,000 potential PID episodes. Episodes referred to about a 60-day window from the first diagnosis, the first PID code. We used ICD-9 PID codes that were supplied by our colleagues at CDC and that have been used in other studies. And then we selected for this work PID cases that occurred between 2002 and 2006, so a more recent time frame, in order to use our electronic medical record, for one thing. Our next step was to select a development set of 200 cases selected using these ICD-9 codes. And then what we did was conduct chart reviews to confirm their case status, to classify whether or not they were indeed PID. At the same time, what we undertook to do was from our automated databases that are available at our health plan, including the enrollment file and the pharmacy database and numerous others that Lizzie referred to, we created what we termed automated profiles for each of those cases. So we this then constituted our universe of potential predictors that we wanted to investigate further. And they included things like the PID diagnosis codes, demographics such as age, procedure codes, treatment with selected antibiotics, other factors like an inpatient stay, or the number of times a PID diagnosis was recorded during that episode, that 60-day window, and contraindicating in, conditions like appendicitis or an ovarian cyst. We then used our CART analyses to identify the potential predictors of PID and sort of create the tree and hone and prune the branches back to the most contributory predictors. And subsequent to that, we selected another group of 200 cases, also conducting chart confirmation on that group. And we applied the predictors identified by our algorithm to the validation set to see how those predictors performed in a newly selected group of women. So CART identified two main predictors from the development set. I can elaborate a little more on another potential predictor that also came out, but there were two hierarchies, the primary one being treatment with anti-infectives used for PID, and the other one being age. And here's the CART tree that resulted from the development set. So when we took the women in that group of the development set for whom we were able to actually decide yes or no as to their case status, that was 168 women. The first query that was asked of those data was whether or not they had been treated with an antibiotic. If so, then the tree or the algorithm classified them as a case. In the remaining group of 32 women for whom that was not true, a second query was asked, which was their age. And in that group, those who were under 25 were then classed as having a PID case, according to the algorithm, and the rest were considered not to be PID. So how our algorithm performed relative to the just the selection of our women using ICD-9 codes is summarized here. The development set and the validation set are the two columns across the top. And then what happened with the ICD-9 code selection is in the three blue rows. And what happened with the CART algorithm is summarized in the remaining four rows. So what we saw were there were an estimated 168 and 181 presumed PIDs using ICD-9 in the development and validation sets. But when we reviewed them, 128 and 147, respectively, were what were confirmed using our chart review, resulting in about a 24% and 19% misclassification of our PID cases using this approach. Using the algorithm selected 148 and 156 women as PID cases. And I'll skip to the last row. Just to say that in those instances, there was a 15.5% and 14% misclassification using the algorithm. We also evaluated the sensitivity and specificity of the algorithm and found that it was considerably more sensitive than specific. So the sensitivity ranged from about 95 to 98%. The specificity, however, was about 43 to 50%, so we were certainly including false positive cases there. So in conclusion, our misclassification proportions for the CART case-finding algorithm in both our development and validation sets have so far been substantially lower than relying just on the ICD-9 automated diagnosis codes. The classification algorithm performed pretty well when it was applied to the validation set, so there weren't big discrepancies in the sensitivities, specificities, and misclassifications, suggesting that our pharmacy data on medical treatment and our age information and use of some selected PID codes could improve our case classification. There are a couple of limitations, or probably more than a couple, but two that we're wrestling with are obviously the small development and validation sets. So, as I said, this was taken on somewhat as a side inquiry, and we really didn't have a lot of time for the chart review. That is, it takes considerable time with a diagnosis like PID. So far, also, these findings have been applied only in one setting. So for future work, we would certainly welcome the chance to investigate the generalizability of an algorithm like this to other healthcare settings and data sets. In particular, our work is based on data that are shared by about 14 other HMOs, nonprofit sites nationwide, primarily the Kaiser Permanente group. Between us, this HMO research network serves about 13 million enrollees, or almost 4% of the U.S. population. So it might be desirable to test this algorithm, at least in those settings, because we may be able to undertake efforts in those contexts. We are, in fact, actually at this point, we have a validation set under creation with our colleagues at KP Colorado. So we hope to have a chance to see how those predictors perform in another study population. Should this continue to be an approach that looks worthwhile, we'll explore and would love to explore the potential contribution of this case-finding approach to other surveillance and research contexts. Thank you. I'd like to acknowledge our project funding, which is from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Division of STD Prevention. Thanks. Yes? Yes.
So, did you have any laboratory information on gonorrhea testing and diagnoses, and how did that factor in?
We did. We did include our lab. Oh, sorry. The question was, did we have any laboratory data on diagnosis and testing in our data set? We did include chlamydia testing. Our results are not readily available through our claims data, which was also included. So I don't believe that that proved to be a predictor. It was done on all of the cases, or a lot of the cases, so it wasn't very good at isolating or serving as a predictor in this group. Yes?
We're struggling with the same sort of thing in our data system that the health department puts their information in, which a lot of times they'll default to certain diagnosis codes that aren't necessarily applicable at the time.
Yes.
And so would you say that that would be something that would actually help the CART system, that would help to validate that truly this person was positive for? Like PID is one of the things that we struggle with as well.
Potentially, yes. As I said, this is still sort of in development, but if you have that information, it may assist in identifying a true PID case. And I have to say, I need to check on whether our lab data were fully incorporated in that set of analyses. Yes?
When you said that your example, data set or data system is shared by Kaiser,
Oh, thank you. Yes, the question was, what is shared by all of these HMO research network participants? And we do share a common EMR platform, EPIC, the EPIC system, although it has been customized for each place. So we are still sort of wrestling with what that means. But these data actually come from our automated databases, not from the EMR, not from at least direct feeds to the EMR. And in that instance, what we are relying on is what we call a virtual data warehouse. Virtual in that we don't pool our data and share our data, but we share our programs. So for example, we've developed the programs for identifying these PID cases, the codes, what we pull as potential predictors from our pharmacy files and lab data and so forth. So we export that program to KP Colorado so that it can be applied in a standardized way, but we don't ask KP Colorado for their data. That actually proved to be a big sticking point for the HMRN for years. And so we've arrived at this approach where we share our programming but not our data. Yes, we have common data elements that are named the same way, and you know we have naming conventions that are shared and are used in our automated systems. Yes, thank you. I will say that one system that does not have that yet is the lab system. So a definite shortcoming.
When
yes.
You told your initial cohort of women, was it just women that had a PID diagnosis, the long range of IP codes or IP codes?
Yes.
What about the women who had the treatment but not the ICD code?
We did not look at that group. We chose as our starting point women who had ICD-9 codes, because our main goal was to see how well that selection approach was working in identifying true PID cases. So we did not go for searching around for PID that the codes failed to identify. That's a good question.